Today's shiur is Masechet Nazir, Daf Yud Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Yud Zayin, Amud Aleph, six lines from the top, Amud Bar Varavashi. Our Mishnah that we had learned yesterday on Daf Tez Zayin, Amud Beis, had discussed the situation where somebody accepted upon themselves a Naziris while they were in a cemetery, while they were Tamei. What is the din? And the Mishnah said that although normally someone who's a Nazir and becomes Tamei has to go through a purification process, and then when he completes his purification process, he has to bring a series of kabbonis and take a haircut. The Nazir who accepted his Naziris in the cemetery was never tar when he accepted his Naziris, does not have to go through the process of bringing kabbonis. However, the Gemara quoted in Machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, if someone declares Naziris in a cemetery, is that declaration at all valid, effective? Rabbi Yochanan said the declaration is somewhat valid, and Reish Lakish held that the declaration was a meaningless declaration. And the Gemara asked a number of questions on that version of Reish Lakish's opinion, which we were up to at this point. That explanation, that understanding of Reish Lakish's opinion is untenable. So the Gemara begins now in another version of what is the machloikis between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Rabbi Rav Ashi Meichel, regarding taking this nether taking effect, says the Gemara, Kula amalai pligi dechayla, a nether of Naziris made in a cemetery is a valid declaration according to everybody, even according to Reish Lakish. And as Tosfos explains, and that is going to be the way we're going to, Mitzvah Shem, understand the Gemara, Reish Lakish certainly agrees that this person who accepted upon himself a Naziris while in a cemetery may not take a haircut, and if he takes a haircut, he'll get Malkus, may not drink wine, and if he'll drink wine, he'll get Malkus. Al-Ki Pligi, the Machlokes, is only as far as Malkus is concerned. Rabbi Yochanan holds, Kivin the Chayle, since the Neder, since the Naziris was an effective Naziris, lucky, he even gets Malkus. Reish Lakish Sover, Loi Lucky, just like he doesn't have to bring the carbon if he becomes Tamei, so too does Reish Lakish hold that he doesn't get Malkus if he becomes Tamei. However, the Rishonim point out that Reish Lakish certainly agrees that this individual should not become Tamei. The only Machlokes is, does he get Malkus if he becomes Tamei or not? Rabbi Yochanan holding that he does, and Reish Lakish holding that he doesn't. Eistei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. So Rabbi Yochanan asks Reish Lakish, and there's a fascinating rush over here. The Rosh says that we just finished learning a version of the Gemara that had the Machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokesh as we just described in our introductory remarks. And we said that Rabbi Yochanan asked a number of questions of Reish Lakish. So if that was the version that Rabbi Yochanan had of what Reish Lakish held, and therefore he asked the questions, so he obviously didn't have this version. If he didn't have this version, how could he ask questions? How could the Gemara quote him asking questions? On the other hand, if this was the version that Rabbi Yochanan had of Reish Lakish's opinion, and therefore asked questions according to this version of what Reish Lakish is saying, how do we understand the previous Gemara where we have Rabbi Yochanan asking questions according to a different version of what Reish Lakish says? Says the Rosh that the Gemara obvious, and this is the way Rabbeinu Peretz helps us understand what the Rosh says. They had a Messiah. They had a tradition that there was a Machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish regarding this subject. The Gemara first quotes one version of that Machlokes, and what the Gemara means to say when Rabbi Yochanan asked Reish Lakish is not to say that they had they knew for certain that Rabbi Yochanan asked these questions to Rish Lakish. What the Gemara means to say is that if that is what Rish Lakish is saying, Rabbi Yochanan could have asked this question to Rish Lakish, but not that Rabbi Yochanan, that they knew for sure that Rabbi Yochanan asked this question to Rish Lakish. And again, now what the Gemara is saying, that if this is the proper explanation of Rish Lakish's opinion, the Gemara is not meaning to say that they knew specifically that Rabbi Yochanan asked these specific questions to Rish Lakish. Rather, what the Gemara means to say is that if this is what Rish Lakish is saying, and this is what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, Rabbi Yochanan composed this question to Rish Lakish. We learned in our Mishnah, Misha Nazuhu Beis HaKvaris, if somebody accepted upon himself a Naziris while they were in a cemetery, even if they remained there for 30 days, the halach is, these days are not counted towards the days that the person has to keep his Naziris. And when he leaves the cemetery ultimately, ain't a maybe carbon toma. He doesn't have to bring the carbon that a Nazir usually brings if he becomes tameh. So what does it seem to, that our Mishnah is teaching us? Carbon tomahu d'loy maisi. The carbon that a person normally has to bring, this Nazir will not have to bring. Hamilki, as far as getting Malkus, if he remained in the cemetery after he accepted upon himself Naziris, and he was warned, leave the cemetery, you're a Nazir, you have to leave the cemetery, and he didn't leave the cemetery, Hamilki Lokile, he would get Malkus. Clearly, consistent with Rabbi Yochanan's opinion that even the Nazir who accepted upon himself the Naziris and the Beis HaKvaris is subject to Malkus, not like Rish Lakish says that he's not subject to Malkus. Answers Rish Lakish, but didn't the listening ain't a like him. Really, the Mishnah could have taught us that not only doesn't he have to bring a carbon if for carbon tuma, but he doesn't even get Malkus for being tamei. El b'shun the kabbalah mis nesefer, because we're going to learn the sefer that Yotzev and Nichnas. However, once he left the cemetery and returns to the cemetery, there the halacha is Oilam and Aminyan. Now his full-fledged Naziris begins. And if he become, and he has to also bring Karban Tumah because he became Tameh after he was a full-fledged Nazir. So since the Sefer is referring to Karbanos, that's why Tani Reisha, that's why in the Reisha, to be consistent and be speaking about the same subject, we say ain't a mevi carbon toma. He doesn't have to bring a carbon toma. However, the Rishonim asked the obvious question. We understand that the Gemara is saying that the Reisha wants to remain consistent with the Sefer, and the Sefer speaking about Karbanos, the Reisha speaks about Karbanos. But our question remains unanswered. The question remains: why does the Sefer need to speak about Karbanos? The Sefer should also speak about Malkus. So the Rishonim answer. In the Sefer the Mishnah, a subject that we will still explore further in our Gemara and Daf Yotes, the Sefer teaches us that there's a fundamental machlokes between the Chacham and Rabbi Elazar. The Chacham learned that if a person is a Nazir and he becomes Tamei, even if he becomes Tamei on the first day of his Naziris, the halacha that he has to bring a carbon after he purifies himself is applicable. Rabbi Elazar disagrees. Rabbi Elazar holds he only has to bring the carbon if he became Tameh after the on day two of his Naziris or later. That is a subject that is only relevant to Karbanos. Since the subject being discussed in the Sefer is an issue that is relevant to Karbanos, so the Sefer has to be speaking about Karbanos. That's where Rabbi Elazar and the Chacham disagree. At what point is the Nazir who becomes Tamei Mechuyiv or not Mechuyiv to bring a carbon? And since the Sefer has to be speaking about Karbanos, and that's the only subject it could be discussing, so the Rish Lakish answers, the Reisha also refers to Karbanos, although the Reisha could have, yes, just as well have mentioned that he's also not going to get Malkus for being Tamei. Tashma, so the Gemara attempts from a different brisa. It says in a brisa, Ein bein tamei shenazer. There is no difference between a person who was tamei when he accepted upon himself Naziris, l'nazir tor shenitma, versus a person who was tor, who was a Nazir, who was tor and became tamei. Elisha Tomei Shanazar, a Tomei that became a person who was Tomei when he accepted upon himself Naziris, Shvi Shalai Oel Minyan. On the seventh day, he starts the count of Naziris. Because as we learned, his process of Tahara requires a minimal of 7 days. The third and the seventh day in which he has on himself sprinkled the Parah Aduma, ashes and water, and but he doesn't have to bring Kabbonis. So therefore, on the seventh day, he could start already counting his Naziris. However, Nazir Tosh Nitma, if a person who's a Nazir and becomes Tamei, ain't Shvi Shalai Oel Minyan, he can't start counting his new Naziris on day number 7. He has to wait for day number 8. Because a person who's a Nazir, who becomes Tamei, as we have been learning, the halacha is Vayomim Rishonim Yiplu, he forfeits the days that he's already kept as a Nazir, and he has to go through the purification process with the Parah Aduma, and then on the 8th day he has to bring karbonos and take a haircut, and therefore since he has to wait for the 8th day to complete his process, he doesn't begin counting his new Naziris until day number 8. What does this Brisa seem to be saying? As far as this halacha, there's a difference. Halamalkus, as far as Malkus is concerned, for somebody being Tamei, it seems that this Brisa is teaching us Zev Zeh Shavim, they both situations are the same, and the person will get Malkus for being Tamei, which is a question of Reish Lakish, because according to Reish Lakish, he doesn't get Malkus for being Tamei. Ask the Rishonim, but isn't there a question on Rabbi Yochanan also? If the Gemara is assuming that the Brice is mentioning all of the differences, shouldn't the Brice have mentioned the most fundamental difference? That the Tamei Shenazir doesn't have to bring Kabbonis, and the Nazir Tor Shenitma does have to bring Kabbonis. Answer the Rishonim. That difference really is in the Brice. Because the Brice is teaching us that the person on the seventh day, the Tamei Shenazir could start counting on the seventh day his new Naziris, whereas the Nazir Tor Shenitma has to wait for day 8. Why? So as we explained, because the Tamei Shenazir doesn't have to bring Kabbonis, whereas the Nazir Tor Shenitma does have to bring Kabbonis. So that difference that we just mentioned is already in the Braisa. And since it's already in the Brisa doesn't have to mention it explicitly. But the fact that the Brisa doesn't make a difference as far as Malkus for being Tamei, it seems that this Brisa holds that the halacha is the same. Amalei, so Reish Lakish says, the way to understand the Brisa is l'teglachas, as far as the Isser of taking a haircut, as far as the Isser of drinking wine, that's where Zev Zeh Shavim. Reish Lakish explains that the Brisa is teaching us that both the Nazir Tohor Shenitma or the Tamei Shenazir, both of them have a prohibition from taking a haircut, both of them have a prohibition from drinking wine. Aval Inkin Malkus, but as far as Malkus is concerned, what's going to be the halacha? There's going to be a very fundamental difference, says Reish Lakish. Zeh Loika, the Tamei, the Tar Shenitma will get Malkus for becoming Tamei, the Zayin Eloika. But the Tamei Shenazar does not get Malkus for becoming Tamei. But ask the Gemara, so listen, so why doesn't the Brisa mention this difference? Answers the Gemara, but the Kanti Kamairi, but Kukulik Goy Kamairi. The purpose, the goal of this Brisa is to teach us when this person becomes a Nazir, day 7, day 8. The purpose of this price is not to speak about violation of the Naziris and the repercussions of violations of Naziris. And that's why the price doesn't go in to discuss those subjects, because that's not the issue of this price. Says the Gemara Toshma, Misha Yatamei V'Nazir. The price says if somebody was a Tamei and became a Nazir, the halacha is, Asula Galeach, he's not allowed to take a haircut. L'shtesh Yayin, he's not allowed to drink wine. Even though when he accepted upon himself the Naziris, he was Tamei. Continues the Brisa. V'mgilech, if he did take a haircut, v'shasu yayin, or he did drink wine, v'nitla meisim, or he did become Tamei, The halacha is harezeh soifek saboim. The Braisa clearly teaches us that he gets malchus. So here we see clearly the Braisa teaching us tamei shenazir is subject to malchus for becoming tamei, which is clearly to yufta a refutation of the opinion of Reish Lakish, who says that a tamei shenazir does not get malchus. Ask the Rishonim. When we had this type of question in the previous year, the Gemara gave an answer that's referring to situation of the yotz of a nichnas, that's referring to a situation where the person left the cemetery, became tahor, and came back into the cemetery. So why don't we say that that's the case that the Bryce is referring to here also, that the person left the cemetery, came back in, and there certainly Reish Lakish will agree that the person is a full-fledged nazir after yotz of a nichnas, and of course, if he becomes tamei, he gets malchus. Answers Tosfos that in the previous Gemara, when we said this teretz, at that point we were understanding Reish Lakish's opinion that a tamei shenazir doesn't get malchus not for drinking wine, not for taking a haircut, and not for becoming tamei. And therefore we understood the braisa that when does he get malchus? Yotz of a nichnas, when he left and purified himself, the nichnas and came back in. However, this Gemara is already at the point where even Reish Lakish is agreeing that a tamei shenazir gets malchus for taking a haircut and drinking wine. If that is the case, so the Braisa is speaking even about where a person was tamei shenazir before he left the cemetery. And therefore, we can't explain that the Braisa is talking about a case of yotz of a nichnas. It's also interesting to note the terminology the Mefarshim point out that our Gemara is using. Our Gemara uses the terminology of soifik es aboim, absorbs 40 malchus. And I saw the Sfarim, this is a common terminology used throughout Shas, so the explanation we're going to give is really an explanation that's very relevant to many sugyas around Shas. Here it says soifik, he absorbs aboim malchus. The question that the Mefarshim asks, wouldn't it be more appropriate that the Braisa should have used Malkin Isai Aboyim, we give him 40 Malkus. So I saw the Mefarshim teach us say that the wording of the Gemara is very, very appropriate. What the Gemara here is teaching us, they explain, is that Malkus is not just a punishment. Somebody did an Aveira, and we punish him, that we give him Malkus. Malkus represents a way that the person should be improving himself. Soifik, the definition of the word soifik means to absorb. Soifik es aboim, the person is supposed to absorb the lesson of the 40. The malchus are supposed to come to teach him and train him that he should be doing better. He shouldn't be doing averus, but he has to absorb that lesson. That's why the Gemara very specifically uses the wording soifik. He should absorb the lesson that the malchus come to teach him. The Gemara Masech the Shavuos discusses the halacha that somebody who's tamei may not be in the Azara, in the Beis HaMikdash, and even if someone entered the Beis HaMikdash, entered the Azara when he was tahor, and he becomes tamei, the halacha is if he doesn't leave immediately, he's chayiv malchus. And the Gemara Masech the Shavuos discusses what is the shear, what is the time limit that a person could linger before he gets malchus. The Gemara says two opinions. There's a pasuk in Divrei Yomim. The first opinion says, the pasuk says, V'chol b'nei Yisrael, Royim beredes ho'esh, V'kvoid Hashem al abayis, V'yichru apayim arzo al aritzpo, V'shtachavu, V'hoidus l'Hashem, Kitoiv, K'l'oilam chazdoi. So the first opinion is the amount of time it says to say that pasuk is the amount of time that this person may linger in the Azara. If he stays any longer, he's going to be chayiv malchus. The second opinion, Masechta Shavuos, says it's only from the second half of the pasuk, from the words v'yichru apayim arzo. So now ask the Gemara by Rava, nazir v'beis hakfaros. You have somebody who's a nazir and he's in the cemetery. Mahu is the same din that we just quoted from Masechta Shavuos. There's a shear, there's a time of lingering until he's Chayiv Malkus applicable to this individual. Aloy, is this shear not applicable to such an individual? The Mefarshim ask that this shear that we just quoted, which we quoted the Pasuk in Devarei Yomim, which refers to the subject of bowing and serving in the Azara, makes sense that it should be a shear for somebody who's Tomei in the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash, because that's the subject of that Pasuk. But our Gemara is referring to a Nazir and a Beis HaKfaris. What does that have to do with that Pasuk? So I saw from the Sefer Arachama, the way to understand the Gemara Masechta Shavuos is that Masechta Shavuos is teaching, the Gemara is teaching us that because that Pasuk is referring to the subject of serving in the Azara, it should be connected to Tumah and the Beis HaMikdash. But rather, the way to understand that Gemara is that they had a halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim, that is the shear for lingering. It happened to be that the subject that they learned the shear of is a pasuk that speaks about serving, worshipping in the Azara. But that's not the point. The point is that they had a local Moshe saying that is the shear. And now the Gemara wants to know, does that shear also apply to another basic forest or not? But Taisvis and the other Rishonim ask a different question. How could the Gemara ask that somebody should get Malkus for being a Nazir in the Beis HaKfaris, where a Nazir in the Beis HaKfaris is not doing a Maisa? What happened here? A person was in the Beis HaKfaris. Posh Pshat in the Gemara is that a Nazir inadvertently entered into a Beis HaKfaris, and then they show him, you're in the Beis HaKfaris, you have to get out. And if he doesn't get out, he'll be over, he'll get Malkus. But isn't that a lav shame by Maisa? And we have a rule throughout Shas that a lav shame by Maisa ain't like an allow. So the Mefarshim answer a few answers, a number of terutzim. One terutz says that Al Gemara is going according to the man, the Omer, lav sheish by Maisa, like an allow. That in a lav for which, that even for a lav shame by Maisa, there is Malkus. Another terutz that I saw is that the Gemara's question is not if this individual will receive Malkus. He certainly will not receive Malkus, because it's a lav shein by Maisa. What the Gemara means to ask is this the type of Isser? Is this the type of Isser for which, under normal circumstances, there's Malkus, even though in this specific circumstance, there won't be Malkus, because it's a lav shein by Maisa? Another teretz that I saw, which is probably what Tosfos is trying to say, what is considered a lav shein b'maisa? Something that does have any action involved with it. However, this situation, there was some action. The person entered into the Beis HaKfaris. Yes, when he entered into the Beis HaKfaris, he wasn't aware that it was a Beis HaKfaris. He might have forgotten that he's a Nazir, but there is maisa involved, and that's why it can't be considered a lav shein b'maisa. Another explanation which the Mishnah Melech gives, a very fundamental explanation in what is or isn't a lav shein b'maisa. The Mishnah Melech says there are certain lavim that are in the category of lav shein b'maisa. There are certain lavim which are in the category of lav sheish b'maisa. In other words, a lav that could only be fulfilled by talking, which the Gemara Masechta Makkos says is not considered a Maisa, which the Gemara says is not considered an action, falls under the category of Lav Shem and Maisa. And on the other hand, a Lav which can be fulfilled or actually transgressed through a Maisa, for example, the Lav that we're referring to, a Nazir entering into a cemetery, that Lav is in the category of Lavim for which there is a Maisa. Yes, we'll find a specific case where it ain't by Maisa, the case that we're discussing, where the Nazir only found out that he's Tamei or that he's in a cemetery after he's walked in. But since there certainly is a situation that this is a lav sheyesh by Maisa, So this lav falls under the category of those lavim which are lav mashiach by maisa, and therefore even if there'll be a circumstance where the lav is relevant when it was aimed by maisa, it remains in that category of lav shiesh by maisa. Another teretz, which the Noida Behuda seems to say, and the Stipler says, that this is considered a lav shiesh by maisa, because even though perhaps when he's initially transgressing the lav, there was no maisa valve, he's in the Beis HaKvaris, and he finds out that it's a Beis HaKvaris. However, there is an action still in his hands. He has the ability to leave the cemetery, and is not leaving the cemetery. His lingering in the cemetery is something that he's not doing, which he should be doing, and that's why it's considered a lav shiesh by maisa. So the Gemara wants to analyze exactly what is the case that we're asking the shaila about. Hey chidomi, ilayim the amri leiloi tinzer, where the person was told don't become a nazir. The person was told don't become a nazir, and he did become a nazir. Lomeli, and in the basic verse. So the question is, Lomeli Shia. He was told not to become a Nazir in the basic verse, and he didn't listen, so he should get Malkus. Nazir my tamaloi boy Shia. Why does a Nazir who enters a cemetery not need to linger to be over alav? To kamasubay. He was warned before he entered the cemetery, don't enter a cemetery, you're a nazir. If you're going to enter the cemetery, you're going to be over alav and be subject to Malkus. Hachinami here too. If he's standing in a cemetery, and we're warning him, don't accept upon yourself a naziris. A nazir can't be tame. Kamasubay, we're warning him. And if he transgresses that warning, he certainly should be subject to Malkus. Elo, the case is, he entered the cemetery while in a large box, and the Mefarshim point out that the box has to be the size that holds mem saw, 40 saw, because only such a size box can prevent the person in from being tuma. A smaller box can't. Or parlov maziva, and his friend came and took out the bottom of the box, and now he finds himself exposed to Tumah in the base of Kfaris, and he's a Nazir. And the question is, Ki Gemirin, Shiva Beis HaMikdash, the halacha that he has to leave. So the halacha is that he has to leave immediately. The question is there a Shir Shia? Is there a certain amount of time of lingering that if he leaves before that time, he will not be subject to Malkus? Or if he doesn't leave immediately, he'll be subject to Malkus? Do we say, that locha that he has a certain amount of time before he'll be over Malkus is only in the Beis HaMikdash? Avla Avroi, anywhere outside of the Beis HaMikdash, if he doesn't leave immediately, loy, he will be subject to Malkus? This shear is a shear that's said all over, and as long as he leaves before this shear, before this time frame is over, he will not be subject to Malkus, even though he didn't leave immediately. And the Gemara says, Taiku, this question remains unresolved. So the way we explain the Gemara, the Rishonim, the Meiri point this out, our Gemara is very specific in mentioning a case where a person was an Einus. It was beyond his control. He was taken into the cemetery in this large box with the assumption that he's impervious to Tumah because he's in this large box. Something beyond his control happened where the bottom of the box was taken away, and all of a sudden he finds himself in the cemetery. Why did the Brisa specifically mention these cases, mention such a case, somewhat of an extraordinary case? So the Meiri and the other Rishonim say that the Brisa, the Gemara is teaching us, it's only because he's an Einus is there this Shaila. And even by an Einus, the Gemara is teaching us, say the Rishonim, that he has to leave immediately. Even though his Tumah came to him, but Einus, he has to leave immediately. The only question is, what does immediately mean? Does he have the Shir Shia? Does he not have the Shir Shia? But if he doesn't leave after that Shir, he's certainly subject to Malkus. Whereas if he was a shaygig, he was just accident. Let's say a person didn't realize he walked into a cemetery, There, the Gemara's question, the Rosh Hashanah point out, would not be relevant. And even though he was a Shaygig, if he doesn't leave immediately, he will get Malkus. So we see from here, the Paiskim point out, that even by Einus, a person doesn't have the excuse of Einus, only that he's not, nobody can have an issue with him if something happened by Einus. But once he becomes aware of the Isser, he must act immediately. And therefore the Paiskim use this Gemara to discuss a very interesting Shaila. If there's a Kohen sleeping in a house, he has an apartment in an apartment building, and he's sleeping in that house, and let's say he goes to sleep at night, he takes off all of his clothing, he's sleeping without any clothing on, and in the middle of the night, somebody, a Jew, dies in that house. So the halacha is, the Kohen has to leave immediately. But of course, he's not wearing any clothing. What should we do? So the Rama says that a person who knows the halacha should not go tell the Kohen, you know there's a mace in the house. Because then the Kohen has a real challenge. What he should do is, he should just ask the Kohen to leave the house. Not tell him that there's a mace, and the Kohen will have the opportunity to get dressed. And then afterwards, when he's outside, he'll explain to him why he told him he has to leave the house. But let's say someone doesn't know the din, and he comes in and tells the Kohen, you know, there's a mace in the house, and the Kohen has to leave immediately. But he's not wearing any clothing. He doesn't want to go outside that way. Even though he's an Einus, he went to sleep. He didn't do anything wrong. He went to sleep in his apartment. He had no reason to believe that he's not allowed to sleep here, that there's somebody, Rachman al-Slan, going to pass away in the house. Still, says the Mishnah Lamelech, based on our Gemara, that even though what happened to him was a pure Einus, he doesn't have a right to linger. And therefore he has a real issue how he should get out quickly, grab a piece of clothing and get out. The Shailos HaTshuvos Har Tzvi takes this concept one step further. He said, just like we're learning that if something happened by Einus, it's considered that it happened as far as an Aveir is concerned, so too does he say it's the same as far as a mitzvah is concerned. And therefore he says, we know that in the morning there's a zman when a person could put on talis, tzitzis. The halacha is, let's say somebody puts on the tzitzis before the zman, and then he stays with those tzitzis after the zman where the mitzvah becomes actual. He doesn't have to go put on the talis again. Wearing the talis after the zman is considered like he put it on. Just like we're saying that staying tamei after he became tamei is considered that he became tamei, so too do we say by a mitzvah. However, the Sefer Birkas Yosef says this is only regarding acts that affect people. What about acts that don't affect people but affect things? In other words, he says, we know the halacha is that a house is not mechuyiv in mezuzah until, if somebody's renting a house, until somebody's there for 30 days. So he says, let's say somebody rented an apartment and he puts on a mezuzah before 30 days and it should stay off after. He says, it's only regarding acts of human beings, putting on a talus, being tamei, do we have this concept of shia, of lingering, that's considered like you did the act. But not when it refers to objects like a mezuzah. By Rav Ashi, continues the Gemara, asks Rav Ashi, what would be the halacha, nazir who beis ha-kfaris? A person became a nazir when he was in the cemetery. Tangiluach aloi, does he require a haircut or not? As we have been learning, certainly the person who accepted upon himself naziris, certainly a person who is a nazir that becomes tamei, the halacha is that he has to go through the purification process. On day number 8, he has to bring those special kabbonis and take a haircut and begin counting his naziris. Over here, the halacha is that if he became a nazir while he was tamei, if he became a nazir while he was in the cemetery, he doesn't have to bring kabbonis. He has to go through the purification process. He has to wait for day 7, but he doesn't have to bring kabbonis. The question is, does he have to take a haircut before beginning the Nazirus or not. And as the Mefarshim explain, what is the basis of the question? So the simplest way of understanding the Gemara, does the obligation to take a haircut travel together with the obligation of Kabbonis? And since this person is not obligated to bring Kabbonis, he's also not obligated to take a haircut before beginning Naziris, or perhaps these two subjects don't necessarily travel together. Another way that the Mefarshim try to understand the Gemara is that this person was Tamei, and he had finished his purification process. And the Gemara's question is perhaps he has to remove the hair that grew while he was Tamei, that he should start the Nazirah, so to speak, with a clean head of hair, or there is no din that Nazirah must begin with a clean head of hair. And that's the Gemara Shaila. Nazir v'beisakfar, somebody accepted upon himself a Nazirus while he was in the cemetery. And now he goes through the purification process, and now he's going to begin his proper Nazirus. Ton giluach eloi, does he have to go through a haircut or not? Ki bay taglachis, is the halacha that the retiree requires a haircut only by a tar shenitma, by a Nazir who was tar who became tamei, that prior to his resuming his Nazirus, he has to take a haircut? To come a Tamil in the Zirasai, only in a case where he became Tamai while he was Nazir. Ava Tamai Shanazir, if he was Tamai when he became a Naziloi, Idemaloi Shanazir, there's no difference. Tashma, so Gemara attempts to bring the following proof. We learned in the Mishnah, Misha Nazir were basic Kvaris, if somebody accepted himself upon himself in the Ziris while he was in the cemetery, Afilo Hayasham Shloishim Yahim, even he was there for a whole 30 days, and an oil minion, then that counted towards the count of Naziris, to his obligatory Naziris, then he may be Karmatum, he doesn't have to bring a Karmatum. The deek is, Karmatum de Loi Maisi, he doesn't have to bring a Karmatum that is normally brought by a Nazir who becomes Tamei. Avgaluche Bayi, he must take a haircut. Says the Gemara, we can learn Pshat in the Mishnah differently. Ma tam kama, ma tam eni mevi karmen tumah. Why is this person not obligated to bring the carbon that a nazir who becomes tummy must bring? Mishum deloy bayi galuche. On the contrary, as we learned, they travel together. And just like he doesn't have to take a haircut, so too he doesn't have to bring the kabbanis. Tashma, so the Gemara attempts from the following braisa. The Brisa says, "Ein bein tamei shenazer." There is no difference between somebody who's tamei, who accepted upon himself a naziris, lenazer tar shenitma, to somebody who was a nazir became tamei. El tamei shenazer, tamei that became, that was a nazir shvish loy oil minyan. He begins his new count on day number 7. The nazir tar shenitma ain shvish loy oil minyan. He doesn't begin his new count on day 7. Rather, he has to wait for day 8. Bring his kabbonis, take his haircut, and then start the count. My love, so it seems that the only difference is day 7, day 8. Is there an obligation to bring a carbon? Isn't there an obligation to bring a carbon? Hola taglachas, regarding a haircut, zevezeh shavim, they both have to take a haircut. So the Gemara, going back to our previous sugya, hola malchus zevezeh shavim, what the Gemara means to say is, they don't have to bring a carbon, then Tomei Shenazir doesn't have to bring a carbon, the Kabbonis Tumah. Nazir Tar Shenitma does have to bring the Kabbonis. But as far as Malchus is concerned, they're both obligated, they both are subject to Malchus for being Tamei. Ava Taglachas, but as far as Taglachas, it could be Zemegaleach, a Tar Shenitma has to take a haircut. The Zemegaleach, a Tamei Shenazir doesn't have to take a haircut. But ask the Gemara, if that is indeed the din, listening to what doesn't the Braisa say so? And says the Gemara, Tanish Liish Loi V'Chol Mili. But the Braisa is saying that Tamei Shenazir to begin his Naziris on day 7, what the Braisa means to say is that all the dinim that apply to regular Nazir Shenitma, that he has to wait for day 8 to bring Kabbonis and take a haircut, don't apply to him, because he could start his Naziris on day 7, he doesn't need to take a haircut, and he doesn't need to bring Kabbonis. So the Gemara attempts to bring a Raya from the din of a Metzairah. We know there are two types of mitzairis. There's a mitzaira musgar, where a person is a question, is he or is he not a mitzaira? The Torah, the kohen examines him, and the kohen doesn't declare him to be a mitzaira. He's a mitzaira musgar. He's confined until the kohen can determine his status. The halacha of such a person is if first the person was a Nazir, that doesn't disturb his Naziris. But then we have a Mitzayra Mukhlet. A Mitzayra Mukhlet is a confirmed Mitzayra. And although he's a Mitzayra, and although we've learned that if a Nazir becomes Tamei, the halach is that all of his original days that he's already kept, he forfeits, and then only after he becomes Tahar, and he brings the Kabbonis, and takes the haircut, thus he begin to count as Naziris again. A Mitzayra Mukhlet, the days while he is a confirmed Mitzayra, don't count towards his Naziris. But they don't cause, as we will learn later in our Masechta, that he should forfeit the days that he already kept, nor does he have to bring the special kabbonis of a Nazir Shenitma. We will learn later in the Masechta that the halacha that he could pick up after he finishes his tzaras, where he stopped after he became a Mitzayra, is only if there are 30 days left to the Naziris. If there are less than 30 days left to the Naziris, he will have to start counting from day one. He will have to count at least 30 days. So, says the Gemara, Tashma, any Elyumei Turasai, Shein Elyumei Minyan. We only know the days where Nazir is a Tamei, they can't be counted towards his term of Naziris. How do we know that the day while he's a confirmed Mitzayra also do not count towards his term? Vedinu, so the Gemara wants to learn from a Kal V'Chaymer. Ma'i mei tumasai, just like when he completes the day of Tumah, Megaleach, he has to shave his hair or maybe carbon. Av mei chalutai, a Mitzayra, when he completes being a Mitzayra, Megaleach, maybe carbon, takes a haircut and bring a carbon. Ma'i mei tulasai, ein oilam in a minyan. So just like the days of Tumah are not counted towards his term, Af mechaluta ein oilam in a minyan, don't count towards his term as Naziris. So the Gemara refutes this line of reasoning. Loi, if you're going to start regarding the day of Tumah, then not only don't they count, he forfeits the days that he already counted if he becomes Tumah. And therefore, obviously, they can't, those days are not counted towards his term of Naziris. Tumah mechalutai, the days of his confirmed Naziris that don't have the din, shame of Atom's appointment, they don't cause him to forfeit the original days. The Fikach, perhaps, those days not only don't forfeit the original days, but they perhaps could even be counted in his term of Naziris. Amrit. A man knows Kever. So Gemara had tried to learn a Binyan Av, comparing a Mitzayra to a Nazir Shenitma. Now the Gemara tries the Kal V'Chaymer. A man knows Kever. If somebody came a Nazir while he's in a cemetery, Shesari Royal to Glachis, he's going to have to take a haircut. The halacha is, and oilam and a minyan. Then that counted his days of Tumah, as we learned in the Mishnah, not counted for his term. Yemei Chalutai, so the days where he is a confirmed Tzaira, Shein Royla to Glachis, where he doesn't have to go through a haircut for Naziris, Lakoshka and Shein oilam and a minyan, certainly that they're not record for him in the count of his Naziris term. So the Gemara, my laugh. So it's saying, we're learning now, that if a person became a Nazir while in a cemetery, his hair has to be cut. My laugh, doesn't that mean taglach's tumah? That before he becomes a Nazir, after he purifies himself, before he actually begins the counts of Naziris, he has to take a haircut. So, no. The Braisa means it's taglach's tara, that after he will eventually become a Nazir, and he's going to have to take a haircut, it's taglach's tara. That's the taglachas, but we don't have a proof that before he becomes a Nazir, he has to take a haircut. Hachanam is tabra, that the Braisa is referring to taglachas that he takes when he finishes the Naziris, but not before the Naziris. This taglachas tumah, if you're going to say it's referring to the taglachas that he takes before he becomes a Nazir, mechalutai also, loibai taglachas, he also has to take a haircut at the end of his time of being Mitzayra. Says the Gemara, that's still not a question. It could well be that he has to take a haircut. But that haircut he has to take because of Hilchus Naziris. The Mitzayra that takes a haircut because he's a Mitzayra. Loi taglachas Naziris ketani, and the Braisa means you can't compare the two haircuts. So this Braisa is not definitive. What taglachas of Naziris are we referring to? Are we referring to the taglachas that he takes that he became a Nazir in the cemetery, and he has to take a haircut before he becomes a nazir, a full-fledged nazir, or is it referring to the haircut that he takes after he will ultimately complete his full-fledged term of naziris? So we don't have an answer to the shayla yet. Does a person who accepts upon himself naziris while he's tamei have to take a haircut before he begins a full-fledged term of naziris? So brings the Gemara Rai from an explicit braisa. Tashma v'timei roish nizra. B'tar shenit ma'akos medaba. The pasuk is referring somebody who was a nazir tar and became tamei. He who ton havar soyer havar sperm, he has to take a haircut and bring kabbonis. However, lift as a nazir bekever, somebody who was accepted upon himself the zeros in the cemetery, ain't ton havar soyer havar sperm, he doesn't have to take a haircut to bring kabbonis. Because otherwise we would have said a kavachaymer. Or ma tosh nitma. If somebody was tar and became tamei, ton havar soyer havar sperm, mishay tamei metchila, somebody who was tamei. Certainly, perhaps, and it didn't say ton avos savivot purim tamalam v'temi resh nazar. Only misha yitar v'nitmar hakos medaber she ton avos savivot purim. He requires haircut and bringing kabbonis. Lift is a nazar bekever, but the person who became a nazar while he was in the cemetery, he has to go through the purification process of the parah aduma, and on day 7 he can become a nazar even without a haircut. Shema minah.